We've got the team together with the opinion and selections. Let's get it started. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
It's Caulfield Guineas Day, one of the great days of racing on the Australian calendar. Let's welcome into the team so we can get stuck into this preview. Dean Lester, it's a good morning to you. What are you looking forward to most this afternoon?
Oh, gee, it's a feast, isn't it, Gareth? Yes. Good morning to you. I think the Guineas. I think the fascination of these two good colts and the challenges they've got in different ways, one from a wide draw, one from the inside, and are they that much better than the rest? We'll get to see this afternoon.
Always love a battle between the equine athletes, but also the human athletes with the jockeys, because maybe the best ride between Lane and Oliver will win the Guineas this afternoon, Dino.
Yeah, and there might be some wild card there that outsmarts them both. Mightn't be on the best horse, but just gets that sweet run. So it's I think it is Guineas Day for a reason, and I'm looking forward to the Guineas the most.
Good morning to you, Gator.
Hello, mate.
Terrific day of racing, mate. Do you have a highlight that you think that might just be the highlight for you by the end of the day?
I mean, I'm with Dino. I think the Guineas is clearly the highlight, but I've got an interesting mix of on-speed runners and backmarkers, so I'm hoping for a level playing, which I'm sure we'll get, and then let the best horses win.
Had a chat to Michael Kent Jr. this morning, Warren. He reported that the jockeys that rode his horses, of course, on the course proper this morning, which included Jai McNeil with Profiteer, that we might even get an upgrade in the early part of the meeting to a good three. The rail's in the true. How do you expect this track to play?
I think Caulfield Firm, Rail True, you would expect it to play well, but we're into the realms now where we've got 10 race cards and, you know, warm enough days, so an upgrade certainly on the cards. And yeah, Guineas Day is always just one of the highlights of the year. And if Zaki's performance and I'm Thunderstruck are sort of the undercard to the Guineas, it just underlines what a great day's racing it is.
All right, let's get stuck into this preview. Before that, let's say a very good morning to Nicholas Quinn. Quinny, what's been the best back galloper this afternoon at Caulfield?
The best backed in terms of the biggest bet has been on Zaki, a bet of 50,000 at $1.28. The market mover through the course of the week, race 3, number 7, Lombardo, now into $1.75 after being posted at $2.20.
Only the one scratching in the first race, a debutante stakes. You can take out the 9 here. Quinny, what's the market doing?
The money has been for Brereton, who's now a $3 market leader. Magic Carpet, a $4 second elect. Commodity on the next line of betting at 7, in from as much as 13. Immortality has gone from $5.50 out to 9. Then at double figure odds, there's been a little bit of money around for the 3, Dubai Oak, who's been 21 into 17. Good betting race. The top two in the betting have been the best backed, accounting for about 75% of money between them. That's Brereton and Magic Carpet.
The best push, Dan, and we probably got on the first word this morning with these two-year-olds from JD Hayes. He says you might have something each way on Dubai Oak.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's had a couple of jump outs. We've seen them all. I've been taken with the work of Magic Carpet. I think whilst the times haven't been anything startling, I think she's had plenty in the tank, and I think she can just blend into the race here and run well. But obviously we learn with every week about these two-year-olds. Commodity, the blinkers went on. He was very sharp. He'll go across from that wide draw and use his speed, and I think can run well. Brereton's a natural running colt. He might even lead. He looks very well educated for his debut run. And I've put in Impel next best. I thought it looked quite strong at the end of her jump outs, but I thought Magic Carpet had looked really stylish at the jump outs and would run well on debut. 12, 2, 1 and 10.
Have you found the winner here, Gator, watching the jump outs?
No idea, but I'll keep Brereton on top. Obviously looks terrific at the trial. Easily beat Cannonball, who ran so well last week. Mobilist, I think, trial better than a $12 or $13 chance. Strong through the line, behind Commodity. I think wants all of 1,000 here. And Impel missed the kick close well in a Cavalla heat, then ridden to win the latest one in good style. And there's Commodity, who has good natural toes. So, look, again, like last week, a lot of these trial well. 1, 6, 10 and 2.
What did you make of Branton's jump out recently there, Warren?
What, his trials and his jump outs have been good, Gareth. He looks, as Dean said, a natural runner, but he also looks like he's got a bit of strength about him. The only horse with race experience being scratched. So suffice to say, there's plenty to learn here. But I do like what I've seen from Brereton, and he does look a natural, and the Victorian Stallion Fund that Mytho and a number of people have put together with a horse here. Hopefully he can get his career off to a good start. I'm one ahead of two, Commodity, who's blinkered up and looked to go nicely in a recent jump out. In that same jump out was Lonsdalite, and also worked through the line well. Mogulus ran past them in that jump out, but it's a bit arbitrary where you put the finishing post in this jump out. So, you know, some two-year-olds only want to go 600-700 metres, not necessarily 800. So I've thought Mogulus would be strong late, and like Dino, I like what I've seen from Magic Carpet. Looked to move nicely down the straight recently. I've won 2, 5 and 12.
So 12, 2, 1 and 10 for Dino. 1, 6, 10 and 2 there for Gator, and 1, 2, 5 and 12 there for Warren Huntley there in the debutante stakes to kick off Caulfield Guineas Day. Let's have a look at the weekend hustler. Listed race over the 1,400 metres. Just a canter, the 4 is out, along with the 8 Viral Quinny.
Yeah, and we do cop deductions here, unfortunately, totalling 21 cents in the dollar. The market mover is Buffalo River, $4 into 260, the clear favourite now at that quote. One bet of 5,000 at $3.80, but again, deductions will be applied there. Sosie Bond now at $4.80, second elect. Newhart at $7.50 with Riddle Me That. Then we've got Carmelas $7.50. Galaxy Raider at $16. Iconoclasm $17. And money at longer odds here for the Matt Brown trained Mr. Exclusive, 26 into 16, just out slightly to 18. But Buffalo River dropping in grade and has been the best bag.
Is this Buffalo River's race here, Gator? He was there, he might have disappeared. We'll ask you, Warren, is this Buffalo River's race here in the second?
It's early for Gator second coffee, isn't it? I'm a little bit surprised there. I think it could be. He was good. He's got a duck egg next to his name, but he was right in the race, Group 1 level, in a solidly run race up until the couple of hundred metre mark. He'll be fitter with that run under the belt, and he'll roll along here and give them something to catch. So I'm with him, dropping in grade to Buffalo River. Head of Sosie Bond, who ran well first up also, and will be fitter. It's a soft run from that inside draw. Number 9, Galaxy River, or Galaxy Raider, probably, you know what you're going to get from him, and he's probably a little bit past his best, but he'll be back in the field and he'll be working home. And ditto for Riddle Me That, who probably did enough down the straight first up. I'm 2, 1, 9 and 5.
Have you got Buffalo River leading all of the way here, Gator?
Yeah, look, I'm pretty sure he'll be in front at the end of the race. I'm pretty confident. He set a really strong speed in the Rupert Clark. He went well above even Group 1 average and held on well, given, I don't think by race 8, the inside was the place to be. It was a swooper's race, given the tempo and the pattern of the day by then. His second up form's really good. He's back a notch here. Sosie Bond might get the rails trail and peel off his back and have a crack. So he is a danger to us. But anyway, we'll back our judgment and back Buffalo River heavily. Sosie Bond, danger. Galaxy Raider, yeah. Newhart, did enough first up. He'll be fitter. 2 on top, 193.
He's had some good back in his favourite, Dino. What do you think his right price is?
Gareth, I'll leave that to smarter minds. I don't know if I want to be backing short odds about some of these horses that don't win out of turn, and I'd rather go a little bit outside the square here. And the one that's been specked at odds, Mr. Exclusive, because I think he's the one that'll come across and sit probably second in the run. He goes well at Caulfield. He's been freshened up. He's had a little jump out, looked to go well. And I just think I'd rather back him a little bit, something the win may be more the place even. Mr. Exclusive to beat Sosie Bond, who I thought did enough at Sandown. Buffalo River's there with a chance because he'll lead. He's just got to get that next win on the board. And I think the absolute rank outsider, Never Again, who is a horse that can turn it on very quickly. And I'm sure Clinton McDonald would love to run well in the weekend hustler. He scratched from last week and runs here. Might be next best. But no, I just think I'm not that trusting of the short odds horses. So I'll go with one at a bit of a price in Mr. Exclusive. 11, 1, 2 and 10.
We can get around $18 for Mr. Exclusive this afternoon. So 11, 1, 2 and 10 for Dino. Gators with the 2 from the 1, 9 and 3. And Warren also with Buffalo River, the 2 from the 1, 9 and 5. 1,400 metres, 1,200 metres, I should say, is the Ned's Village Stakes listed race for the sprinters. And we've got Lombardo here, Quinny, as the short price favourite.
That's exactly right, and the best back runner on the Caulfield card today, $2.20 into $1.75, as we mentioned at the top of the show, hits the market at that quote. Really hope Pandemic doesn't win for all the bad gags on Twitter. Pandemic and $8 second elect. There's been money at odds for a couple of runners, including Ocean Beyond, who's been $10 into $9, including one bet of $2,000 at the $10, joins War Correspondent now at that quote. Age of Chivalry, 14. Regards Marie, 14. Sansom, 17. Wisdom of Water, 21. And Hightail, the $41 outsider. But really well back through the week and well anchored through the multi-bets is the favourite, number 7, Lombardo.
Is he the one of the good things of the day outside of Saki Higata, Lombardo?
Well, I mean, he's going to run very fast, 1,200 metres. So I think the key to the race is that if he runs to his last two performances, they're going to have to run really fast time to beat him. Now, Pandemic can do that. He can run quick time and he can run a strong last 600. So he is a danger, but War Correspondent, perhaps the best value at 1,200 metres. It can improve here, especially run better than it looks. And Sansom, Regards Marie, certainly somehow, just back to 1,200, a little query with the latter there. I think the 7, price-wise, he probably wins more than 5 out of 10. So I think his price is okay. I'm with him in my all-ups. 7, 3, 8, and 1.
What's your speed map here, Dino?
Oh, I think if he begins cleanly, Gareth, he's going to be right in the firing line, Lombardo, to probably either lead, whether Sansom, who... back to 1,200 from Barrier 1 might be prominent, and depending on what they do with Wisdom of Water here, with the winkers back on. But I think the clear thing about Lombardo is he handles all ground, but his 3 dry track runs have been absolutely outstanding, even going back to his maiden win. And then he had a series of runs on wet tracks, and he won a few of them. But these last 2 runs, he's got back on top of the ground. He's run time, and he's been absolutely dominant. So, I agree. I think he's... a good short price favourite, deserving of that, and he should win. Pandemic out to 1,200 on a truer tempo. That was a very messy, slowly run race last start. I think this will be more truly run, and he can run well. War Correspondent blew the start in a 9.55 metre race, so he did a great job to get as close as he did. And Ocean Beyond ran well in that race that I referenced, where there was a sort of bunched and it was a bit messy. He might be next best, but I would think Lombardo totally in the zone at the moment and should win again. 7 from 3, 8 and 9.
You taking on this favourite here, Warren, or you're sticking with Lombardo?
No, I think he's a deserved favourite, Gareth. As Michael Kent and Dino just described, he's in the zone. He loves the firm ground. He runs fast time and he takes a step up in grade, but he's been well placed to go to listed level, stay on the minimum weight and get an experienced top level senior rider in Jai McNeil aboard to see if he's worthy of even going higher. So I think it's a good option for him. 7 for me. The 1 Sampson, who I think's over the odds. He was tested at 1,400 metres in stronger races in his last couple. He's had a freshen up back to 1,200 metres. Last time he was at 1,200 metres at Caulfield, he won the Bletchingley. That's got to be a good form reference for this. 9 Ocean Beyond didn't have any luck in that messy race that Dino described last time. That jump out that Daniel Bowman just described to you, I thought he trucked up beautifully to the line there. And through that same form line, Pandemic gets the blinkers off, stepping back up to 1,200. 7,193.
Dean Lister, 7, 3, 8, and 9 for Dino in the third. Gators with the 7 from the 3, 8, and 1. And Warren also with Lombardo in the third, 7, 1, 9, and 3. The 3-year-old fillies do battle over the 1,200 metres at Group 3 level. In the Thoroughbred Club Stakes, you can scratch the 6, A Very Fine Red, the 7, Frost Flowers, the 10, Decent Rain also comes out. But this is a competitive race, Quinny.
It certainly is, Gareth. There's been money for a couple of runners with the best back, number 3, Crystal Bound, who was initially a $6 second elect and has been back from $6 into $4.20. Now shares the top billing there with Shahonka at that $4.20 quote. New York Baby at 7, Larkspur Run $7.50. Cerades on the next line of betting there at $8.50 has been another one that's firmed up in from $10. Robodeer has been spec $9 into $8.50. Then we've got Sneaky 5, who's gone the other way, $10 out to $17. Star Waltz has been $31 into $19, spinning $23, then $31 or better the rest. So to summarise, money at longer odds there for number 15, Star Waltz, but the two movers, the joint favourite, Crystal Bound, and at longer odds, Cerades.
Crystal Bound, Dina, how much improvement do you expect in her today after her first up victory at Flemington?
Oh, I think they looked as though there was a fair bit there. It's hard to tell when you're not on course, Gareth, but she did a good job to win. It was a good, tough win, and maybe the 1,200 is going to suit her better. And Barrier one, she's going to be prominent. Gee, I was taken with the first up win of Shahonka at Wyong. She'd shown ability, but they hadn't ridden her for speed in the past. And just the Waterhouse Bot Stubby, you know, they like to put them forward, but maybe she wasn't mature enough for that in the first campaign, but got running and really ran along and was dominant winning last start. This is another step up, but I think she'll give a great sight here. Number 12 to beat 3, Crystal Bound, who is a good filly. We've seen her two wins first up and her second up run in the Percy Sykes last preparations, a good reference for a race like this. 5, Larkspur runs racing well, hard fit and can be competitive. And putting Spinning in for 4th. She won a maiden at Horsham last start, but that was just to get the maiden out of the way. You go back to her first preparation, she really tested Gimme Parr, who I still think's Melbourne's best filly, and then was beaten by Generation and was probably at the end of her preparation. So I think she's the one that's way over the odds here, Spinning. But on with the Sydney Visitor in Shahonka, 12, 3, 5, 11.
Do you have Shahonka in front here, Dino?
I do, Gareth. There'll be good, reasonable pressure in the race, but I still think she can probably lead, and it's a good draw and a good run to that first turn that she can take her time and get there if she wants to.
What did you make of Shahonka's victory there, Gator, at Wyong, their last start in Sydney?
Look, it was terrific, obviously. The margin significant, definite merit on the clock. I think measures up for sure. Yeah, it's a level of pressure that's going to be the key here, I think, to a lot of these, and some tactics. There's a lot between a lot of them. So who's going to get the right run? To be honest, I was having real trouble splitting Crystal Brown and Robodera through the Jamea form. That's the one I've gravitated to. Crystal Brown nutted by Jamea in a Percy Sykes. Comes back, wins, beats Ceredes. Ceredes goes to the Valley, wins, beat Larkspur, run with every chance. Robodera run down by Jamea, who had to run a big last 600 to beat her. Then she was one of those horses out wide, Randwick, 18th of September, out in the quicksand. Everything that's run out there since has improved. Look, I won't say 10 lengths, but they've all improved a lot. Plus she was lame, which can't help. I think she's the wrong price. I think they should be much closer together. You know, had I seen a market, I may have flipped them. But anyway, 3 from 4. New York Baby and Shahonka certainly in the game, but plenty of others are as well. Truth of Grace, 3, 4, 8, 12 for me.
How have you assessed this Phillies race here, Warren?
Gee, I think it's a competitive race, Gareth. Mm. I could have at least 5 picks here and not be confident. I've led to Crystal Bound. I think she's got a lovely style about her. Talk was she'd improve out of that first up run, and she showed good fight to win. There was perhaps some hard luck stories, including Flying Evelyn behind her, but she found a way to win from an inside draw. She should get a nice trail behind the speed, and I'm sure she'll be strong late. Second up, 3 for me. Hit a 5 Larkspur run, who ran well in a race that ties a bit of this form together. Last start at Moonee Valley, she gets a little weight turnaround on Ceredes. There's probably not going to be a lot between them. And yeah, I was also taken with the first up win of Shahonka and merit on the clock, and effectively shut down the last little bit, so there could have even been more merit on the clock to that victory. And I was at Cranbourne last night for racing.com talking to Bo Dunn, and I asked him what he was most looking forward to in the days ahead, and he said Shahonka has thrived since arriving here. He's really happy with the way she settled into the Waterhouse and Bot Melbourne stable, and he's expecting her to be very hard to beat. And on form, you'd say that that's the case, and nice to know that she settled in very well. 3, 5, 1, 12.
So the team selections there on the 4th, 12, 3, 5 and 11 for Dino, 3, 4, 8 and 12 for Gator, and 3, 5, 1 and 12 for Warren Huntley. Let's have a look at the Scalacci race, 5 for the sprinters, wait for age at Group 2 level. Over the 1,100 metres, Quinny, and scratchings are clear.
They are indeed, and as a result, we've got a pretty popular favourite here in the form of September Run, who's been 370 into 310, heads the market at that quote. There's also been a firm for the second elect, Bella Nipotina, who's been $5.50 into $4.60. The top two in the betting combined for 88% of the hold so far, so punters are clearly with the 4 or the 5 at this early stage. Savitou Excel's gone the other way, 440 out to 6. Then we've got Dosh at 750, currently the third best backed runner in the race. Shaquiro an $8 chance. Asurion opened at $5, now all the way out to 9. Jigsaw's 16 and Rohirrim at 17. So maybe the bookies made a slight error assessing this race initially, and as a result, a good move for numbers 4 and 5, September Run and Ballinipatina.
Let's hear from Craig Williams, of course, rides the favourite September Run in the Scalacci.
She's in a right race. She's the best rated horse. It's Crawford's her only concern, but it's a lot better than Moonee Valley, and I thought she acquitted herself really well around the valley in the Moya last start. So she looks like she's going to be in a right race.
Gator, what are you thinking about September Run?
I think you can cut, copy, paste what Mr. C. Williams said for me. I think they just stayed at 1,001 run too many in the Moya. She's still very much, she's third quickest time. But 1,100 here, back a notch. Looks her race with clear air. If she's in touch with him, she'll run over him. Savitou Excel will give you a great sight. He is below his best fresh last prep, but he won his other four fresh runs. And he beat Geetra, who's so tipping to win an Everest. His trial was terrific. Shaquiro didn't have much luck in the Moy, beat home September run, but was in the best part of the track. So it's a mixed bag assessing that run fitter. And Ballinipatina held up, exploded to win at Caulfield. Quickest last runner of the day. She's airborne. 4.165.
Can you bet with confidence with September Run outside of Flemington, Warren?
You don't have as much confidence, but I'm confident in her class and I'm confident that she'll be very strong late. She's got round the valley and hit the line well, documented she stayed at the 1,000 metres, but Group 1 race, it was probably the most suitable race to fit into her program to come here and to then head to Flemington to get to the Group 1 down the straight. She just doesn't seem as effective the Sydney way going, so she's a bit constrained border-wise, I think, September Run. Notification Jigsaw that they want to ride with cover, so it probably takes a little bit of the speed out, probably means Dosh and Savitou Excel set the speed, but it'll still be a decent speed, and I think September Run, if she's within a couple of lengths of them, three or four at the turn into the home straight, she can build into the race, and she's got that explosive finish on. With her, ahead of 5, Ballinipatina, who's going up in grade, but she ran terrific late sectionals, quickest last 200 metres of the meeting last start, and she's just going so much better now that she's settling and using that dynamic sprint. She'll get a lovely run behind that speed. Savitou Excel will give a sight riding the speed, and Asurion will be strong late. I've gone 4.513.
We might just quickly hear from Graham Beck. Of course, he trains Dosh in the Scalacci, the 3-year-old filly taking on the older horses.
Yeah, look, she's in very good shape. Look, you're right. She did blow out a bit the last sort of 200. But look, she's given us every indication she's in very good form, and we felt that this was a nice opportunity with no weight on her back. Coming in with 51 kilos gives her a great opportunity to be able to, be there and give herself a good account of herself.
Do you give her a chance here, Dino?
I haven't been a real rap on the fillies, Gareth, this season, and 51 kilos might help, but I think she'll get run over late, and I think it'll be by September Run. She's been going well, as the boys have said, at the Valley. It'll be interesting to see how she gets around Caulfield. She's going to have to come from last, probably, and round them up and win, but that's her style, and I think she's going very well. Craig Williams back aboard to beat Savitou Excel, who's a beauty. He trialled up well and he had a great campaign there winning at Goodwood, so I'm respecting him. Shaquiro didn't get a lot of room when he needed it in the Moya Stakes. I thought he ran well. And Ballinipatina, off a low pressure, she was really good last start, but if they go hard here, they've ridden her a bit further back and she's been hitting the line, so she's going very well. But no one with September Run, 4-1. 6 and 5.
The team keen on September Run and Scalacci. Dino's with the 4.16 and 5. Warren with the 4.16 and 5. And Gator with the 4.16 and 5. And Warren's with the 4.51 and 3. We'll take a quick break here on the Melbourne Form Panel for Caulfield Guineas Day, and we'll come back and take a look at the Might and Power Stakes, where we see Saki as the dominant $1.22 favourite. Great to be with you on this Saturday morning, Caulfield Guineas Day. It's a good four there this afternoon. Maybe a chance for an upgrade. And it's time to preview the Ned's Might and Power Stakes for the first time. It's named in honour of one of the greats in Might and Power. Of course, the Caulfield Stakes. And we've got Saki at $1.22. Quinny, will he shorten up by the time this race starts?
Good question, Gareth. The question is, how short can he possibly get? Because he was still $1.30 on Thursday. He's been $1.30 into $1.28 into $1.25, and already today $1.25 into $1.22. To answer your question, I think he'll start around $1.25. Zaki, though, clearly heads the market. One bet of 50,000 at the $1.28 through the week. Probabil now a $6 second elect. Homesman 13, Nonconformist 23, No Effort 51. And then we've got Nickajack Cave, the outsider, at $61. But it's all about Zaki to carry on his winning ways.
What are you expecting from Zaki this afternoon, Dino?
Oh, the next building phase towards the Cox Plate, Gareth. He really got into his work and runs 3, 4 and 5 in his first Australian preparation, as well as he ran in his first two. That's when he elevated from the Hollandale Stakes onwards. So now we're up to run 3. So I would think we'll start to see, better again. It was pretty good at Sandown, wasn't it? So I think he'll probably win again and win well. Homesman is a good, tough campaigner in this grade. 2,000 metres, Caulfield performer, will run well. Probabil, she's got 2,000 metre form, and the drying track, the dry track, really does suit her. And Nonconformist getting ready for next week, up to Genuine Weight for Age here, but going well. But, I'm looking forward to seeing what Zaki does. And we've seen this as lovely lead-in to a lot of Cox Plate winners. And he just might be one of those in a couple of weeks' time.
How do you think
this... 2-1-5-3.
So 2-1-5-3. How do you think this race will pan out, Gator? Dino, with their tactics and that, with their small field once again.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it's easy enough to say that No Effort's going to be the leader. And from the outside draw, that's probably, that will be right, I'd imagine. It's a matter of then how they form up behind that, whether Homesman tries to stay off the rail, whether Probabil kicks up inside him, and where Zaki ends up in the small field. So there is a little bit to play out in that first 300 or 400 metres. Ultimately No Effort, I think, will, from the outside, work her way to the front.
Gator, is there any way that you can see Zaki getting defeated this afternoon?
I think it's a horse race, mate. So there are absolutely no guarantees, are there? But a few of the ratings guys thought he was just okay second up, but I think it was a little bit unfair. I mean, he was 1,400 to 1,800 second up into a prep. I'm not sure what the expectation was, but he certainly surpassed it. For mine, it's a pretty soft win. He beat Probabil easily. Superstorm got back to third. He beat Homesman when they clashed at the end of last prep. I think 2,200 is probably the upper end of his endurance levels, but he was still too good for Homesman. He easily beat Probabil as referenced who's here. Nonconformist brings in the Superstorm form through the fan. All things being equal, he does look the winner, and he's, he's that price for a reason, I guess. But, good three track, I guess, first time around Caulfield. There's no absolute morals are there. But 2-1-3-5 for me.
How do you make money on this race, Warren?
I'm not sure if you try to, Gareth. I think that, watching elite horses and our great riders ride at Weight for Age races, it's going to be potentially a tactical race. But Annabelle Neesham outlining to you that Craig's going to ride Zaki like the best horse, and that probably puts him in close proximity with No Effort when the pressure goes on. And I think he'll elevate off that. He was 14 to 1,800 metres as Gator outlined second up, and he was still strong through the line. They weren't pulling him back. I think he'll dominate this race, have a really good hit out heading into his grand final, the Cox Plate. Looking forward to seeing it. 2 for me ahead of 5. Probabil, who's consistent and honest. The firm track is in her favour. That's probably understating her ability. She's a top-line horse. So is Homesman. He'll be fitter for that first up run, and Nonconformist will have a nice blowout, ridden patiently, and head into the Caulfield Cup next week. 2-5-1-3.
2-1-5-3 for Dino, 2-1-3-5 for Gator, and 2-5-1-3 for Warren in the Might and Power. The mares do battle in race 7 over the 1,200 metres. Group 3 level, Rubisaki, the ground just too firm for her this afternoon, so she is out. Paul's Regret also out, along with the 10. Pim's Party and Wanaleary, the 11, comes out here, Quinny.
Yeah, we lose 15 cents in total in deductions through those four runners coming out. Despite that, La Mexicana's been the market mover. 460 into 360, heads the betting at that quote. Talia's been popular, now at $3.90. Brooklyn Hustle, 5. Chassis, 8. Dirty Thoughts, $8.50. And a move at odds for number 12, More Secrets, as much as $19 on Wednesday into the current quote of $9, including bets along the way of $2,000 each way at $13 and $500 each way at $19. Then we have Nudge, $11, Stand Off, the outsider of the field there at $34. But basically, with the exception of Stand Off, all these runners have been single-figure odds at one stage or another through the week. La Mexicana and Tell You, the two best backed, but a move at odds for the 12, More Secrets.
And I guess More Secrets, the X factor here, Warren, because she basically nearly should be unbeaten.
Yeah, well, she's an X factor, but she was going around at Bendigo last start in a benchmark 70, so she's taking on significantly stronger company here going to Group 3 level. But you almost trust Team Hawks as much as anything else that she's up to that, because they're not in a rush to get their horses to a higher level. I do think Tayer's got a bit of X factor about her too. Some giving the ground might be a bonus for her, but she's a multiple winner on good ground. And she ran well from an awkward draw at Kembla last start, and she's got a really good turn of foot and maps to get a good run on with four. Ahead of six chassis, who couldn't be going any better. John Price would be thrilled with the way she's performing. Form behind Probabil and Bella Nipotina at her last couple of starts. Terrific form references. She's going really well. 12 More Secrets has got to go in because it was a case of what might have been last start, and that's her only defeat. So we certainly don't have a ceiling on her yet, and she should have won. First up, she just didn't get any room when she needed it. This is a much tougher assignment. La Mexicana from an inside draw, she's probably going to be not too far away. Another one who'd be better, I think, with a little bit of give in the ground, but she's consistent and goes in. 4-6-12-3.
Gator Jason Warren reported that Brooklyn Hustle's ready to go. No excuses this afternoon for her.
Yeah, well, I mean, good to hear, because I'm tipping her. I think she was obviously heavily backed first up, and at the value in a Group 1 race, I mean, she always flew fresh, so I can see why the money was there. But I think she had almost every excuse but cardiac arrhythmia. So back to Group 3 mares grade, 1,200 metres, in a race that looks their solid speed. I think they'll go above Group 3 average class. And with clear air, she can hopefully do what September Runs just done and run over them. Talia and La Mexicana, on-speed mares, they're very tough, they're very talented, they're very honest. They're not as good as Brooklyn Hustle, but they'll have a head start on her. And Nudge can fly fresh as well. 1-4-3-2.
With these scratchings, Dano, what's your speed map here?
Gareth, the speed map, I'm suggesting that I'm hoping Talia from the good draw will be a lot more prominent than she was last start. But you've got the likes of La Mexicana not far away from Barrier 1. More Secrets missed the start at Bendigo, but I could see her being a lot closer and Dirty Thoughts working across. So I don't really like this race that much because a horse like Brooklyn Hustle having that issue last start, she's the best horse in the race, goes in the quaddy, I don't really know. I'm going with Talieu, but the drying track worries me. I think More Secrets is a real talent, and that's why they're rushing her through to try and get her straight to stakes class. She should have won and won easily first up. It was weaker grade, but she's progressive. Dirty Thoughts will run well. La Mexicana likes Caulfield, but Brooklyn Hustle, Nudge running on late, and the smaller field now with the scratchings has certainly helped a mare like her and even chassis in career best form. So tricky little race for mine, Gareth. 4-12-8-3.
Late lunch, Dino.
Something like that.
4-12-8-3 for Dino. Gator likes the one from the 4-3-2. And Warren Huntley's with the 4-6-12-3. Caulfield Guineas is the 8th race there. Scratchings, the 9 Coast Watch comes out, and the 13 Dark Rebel here, Quinny.
And a late swing towards Anima, who's been 280 back into 270, was into as short as $2.30 before the barrier draw, was reposted at 250, eased from 250 out to 280, but subsequently 280 back to 270. Artorias was a firmer following the draw, 450 into 350, is subsequently eased from 350 back out to 4. I anticipate that drift will continue if you do plan on backing Artorias. Tiger of Malay's been popular, $21 into 11. Mr. Mozart, 15 into 14. Lightsaber, 15. Alpine Edge, 21 into 16. Forgot You, 17. Giannis, 21. Hitotsu, 34 into 23. Captivant, 26. River Plate, best the rest there at $34. But the favourite, Animo, the best back despite the wide draw in today's feature.
Let's hear from Animo's trainer, James Cummings.
It is not as detrimental a barrier has been faced before with the Blue Diamond and the Golden Slipper, for instance. So I think Caulfield Guineas is his target. So, you know, the wide barrier is the wide barrier. It's not like we're scratching from the race and going somewhere else. He's going to run. He's just got to task ahead of him.
And here's Sam Freeman on the second favourite of Taurus.
He can bounce with them, and then he's a little bit slow in the stride for his first couple of strides, and then he generally gets into a decent enough spot. So don't want to take him right out of his comfort zone, but if he can begin there or thereabouts, then he could settle sort of midfield. Midfield or even a touch better would be ideal, particularly, you know, now stepping out to the mile.
Dino, where do you think these two favourites land in the run?
Well, it's the big question, isn't it, Gareth? Can Artorias begin? And if he does, he's probably got Tiger of Malay drawn to his inside with speed, and I think Hitotsu will use that gate as well. So, you know, he could land midfield, because you've got Mr. Mozart, Lightsaber, Zarel, Alpine Edge, I think are the four, especially with Alpine Edge, the blinkers back on. I think they're the four that are probably going to press, and they're from sort of the mid gates. And then it's where, you know, the likes of Captive on Animo, Forgot You from out wide sort of slot in. It's a tricky map. I just think as long as he gets three wide with cover somewhere like that, Animo cover from that predicted win down the side there peels out, I think he can win the Guineas Animo. I love the preparation he's had, even though it was probably not ideally by design because he had that little setback at the start. He's still building into his preparation. He's only third up, and he makes the trip from Sydney, whereas Artorias has had to go Melbourne, Sydney, Melbourne, and he's fourth up, so he mightn't have as much improvement. It was an enormous run in saying that in the Golden Rose. Tiger Malay did enough, and in the Golden Rose gets a beautiful run from the draw that's going to help him. And I just think that they did it last year with Grand Slam running one way out of the grade, the Mar Eustace stable. I think Hitotsu will run a really cheeky race. He wasn't that far away when he was very inexperienced in a Blue Diamond and a size produce, and he just went and had that easy win first up. He's the little surprise packet. But 1, 2, 3, 17 for me, Gareth.
You know how we always like to think ahead, Dino. Should we have something on Hitotsu maybe for the Derby before the Guineas?
Oh, yeah, maybe. He's going along well. I'm not convinced that he's pretty quite a brilliant horse, so it'd be interesting to see, you know, what transpires today. I thought you were going to say Animo for the Cox Plate, but
should we have something on Animo?
Well, I think if there's going to be a 3-year-old run well in it, he'd be the one.
Gator, is it a 2-horse race in your eyes?
Probably not. That's not fair. It's not as if, you know, these two have been putting big margins on everything else. I mean, Tiger of Malay did beat Artorias home last time. Mr. Mozart beat Artorias at Flemington. So, yeah, I don't think it's fair on the others. But look, I'm tipping Artorias. His last 100 metres in that Golden Rose was just outstanding. Sub 11 seconds off a fast speed. He was sort of speared off the track a bit by one who was sort of running about. I'm convinced he wasn't in the best part of the track. I know some disagree with me, and that's fine. You know, it's an opinion-based sport, but I think the inside runners had a big advantage. And he flew home and made really good ground on Animo, who was also terrific. Given the pattern, very, very fast race. I have to trust it. Tiger of Malay had every chance, but was rock solid at the end. Did run well in a JJ Atkins, didn't he? So he's proven at the mile. The other two are not. And Giannis went back in trip in the Golden Rose. He's not good enough. And B, back in trip, gave him no hope. But it was worth a try. It's group one. He ran okay. Back out to 1600, the tick. And, of course, you go back to his mile run. He beat home Tiger of Malay in the JJ Atkins. So I think he's in the conversation as well. Forgot You and Hitotsu are in my wider quaddie. And then the skinnier one will be much skinnier. 2, 1, 3, 7.
Who do you like in the Caulfield Guineas here, Warren?
With Animo, Gareth, I think his win in the size in Sydney when he ran away from Halal and others was just outstanding. Then he was put in the paddock. He had that setback, as Dino outlined. So you'd think he's got good improvement in him out of his first up run and his second up run, and they've both been terrific. So if Damien Oliver can just get a three wide trail, I think he'll be very strong late, confident with him running out of six strong 1600 metres and potentially then on towards being competitive in a Cox Plate. One for me ahead of two. Animo, hopefully he begins cleanly. The gear change of the cheek is on, just provides that little bit more tractability, and he can get clear when he needs to from that draw. Tiger of Malay through the Golden Rose form line. So I'm trusting the good form line, the Group 1 in Sydney. I think Animo's the pick of those. And I agree with Dino about Hitotsu. I think he's got a little bit of explosive sprint about him, and I can see him just watching it all unfold from that draw and at least being a trifecta first four player. 1, 2, 3, 17.
1, 2, 3, and 17 as well for Dino. Gators with the 2 from the 1, 3, and 7. Of course, Warren's with the 1, 2, 3, and 17 in the Caulfield Guineas. We'll take a quick break here on the Melbourne Form Panel, and we'll come back and have a look at the Toorak. Both Hall, Dean Lester, David Gately, Warren Huntley, and Nicholas Quinn with you for the Melbourne Form Panel, looking at the Caulfield Guineas. The Sydney preview to come up next, just after 9 o'clock, with Lizzie Jelfs and David Gately. But let's have a look at the Toorak handicap, Group 1, over the 1600 metres, the handicap, and we've got Harbour View's the 7 out, and Acer, unfortunately, was scratched as well here, Quinny. What price can we get now for this favourite, I'm Thunderstruck?
Currently a $2.70 favourite, Gareth, has been the best backed runner. Elephant on the second line of betting at $4.60. Dice Roll, $9.50. Sierra Sue, $11. Tefane, $12 with Superstorm. Second Slip, $16. A Move at Longer Odds for the 14, Embolism, as much as $41 yesterday morning, now into $21. So You Assume, $23. Luna Fox, $34 with Quantum Mechanic. But the best backed runner looking for his first Group 1 victory, number 11, I'm Thunderstruck.
Elephant's been one of the stories so far of the spring. Let's hear from his co-trainer, David Brown.
It's a tidy field. Followers have come up. I think a few of the light ones, lightweight, probably will give us a bit of a shake up. But I think it's still a winnable weight what he's got on as well. So I think he's probably working as well as he has done the whole time, and he's probably looking the best he has done the whole time. So we're pretty happy with him anyway.
What do you think in the Toorak this afternoon here, Dino? How do you think the race will pan out in the early part with your speed map? And on Thunderstruck, I think all eyes will be on him at the start.
Yeah, they will, Gareth. He's drawn a better gate than last time, obviously, and he didn't begin badly last time. He just had to go. He went back and filed in behind them over 1,400. He's got speed drawn to his inside with Dice Roll, Second Slip, Tefane, and he's in 4, Elephant's in 5. And then So You Assume out in 8, probably presses on with the lightweight. So he's got good speed around him and good chances around him. You'd be hoping that he could land in front of maybe half the field without having to reinvent the wheel too much with him, but into a good rhythm. And look, I think he's a great winning chance, but I think the horse that might be just maybe either outside him or just in front of him that's got a good little chance at odds is Embolism. I thought this was an enormous run. It was in a lot lesser grade, obviously, first up, but he proved in the autumn when he ran well in the Australian Guineas that he's a talent. He had 58 kilos even after the claim in that race first up behind Cirilio Miss, who I think is way better than 58 grade. 78 grade with 58 kilos. So I think with 52 kilos, Embolism has got a really good chance at each way odds. On Thunderstruck can win. I keep coming back to his 3 defeats have all been at the 1400 at Caulfield. So hopefully, he just has that better luck at the 1600 from a better draw. And he certainly looks Group 1 standard. Superstorm, I think his two best career runs have been here at Caulfield, 1600 metres to Toorak last year, where he came off a unusual preparation running in the Turnbull the week before, had 57.5 and ran well to Mr. Quickie. And you go back to the All-Star Mile where he ran well to his stablemate Regal Power. I like the wide draw for him because he's a big strider. He drew 13 in this race last year and ran really well. I think he'll run well. And Elephant, I think he's got a good chance. I think he's well enough found at the weights, and he's done a good job in his 3 runs in Australia and can certainly run well again. But I just think Embolism's a horse on the up now as a gelding, might be concentrating on his racing and worth having something on at a price. 14, 11, 2 and 4.
Are you with the Thunderstruck here, Gator?
Yeah, look, I plan to get my money back. I think it was operation successful in the Rupert Clark, but unfortunately the patient died. He was off the map, wasn't he? Expected to run like he did.
And, you know, I'm not sure how many spot them 12 lengths at the 500 and get in a bumping duel and run within a half length, but I don't think it's many. Yeah, getting to 1600, if you can just get clear air, Group 1 winner in waiting. Elephant, a danger, pipped by Superstorm at weight for age, so has a kilo advantage on that horse, so it's easy to like that form. The winner, Sierra Sue, is luckless behind them, the winner of the Ripper Clark, so it's easy to tie that horse in. He was back 100 metres last time. I didn't think it was any advantage, but he was still way too strong. Superstorm must have a case, same form line. Sierra Sue, what a terrific win. I know Thunderstruck was probably the best run in the race, but she was wide. She savaged the line. It was a terrific win. It's just harder now, isn't it, up in the weight. You know, handicap racing tells you that. Dice Roll, Tufano in the game. 11-4-2-3 for me.
What are you doing here in the track here, Warren?
I'm Thunderstruck. Gareth, he's just got to get that clear air. Hopefully he can settle a bit closer from that draw with a bit of speed in front of him. He went up 16 rating points on the Race of Victoria handicaps for that placing, the Sir Rupert Clark, but the way this race is structured up, he doesn't pay a weight penalty for that. He's still on the minimum. So, look, I think it's his time to win a Group 1. He's been perfectly placed. We saw what was there in the Sir Rupert Clark. So out to 1,600 metres should suit. I'm keen on him. 11 ahead of 4, Elephant. It's been part of a good story for the David and Emily Brown stable over here during the spring. He's continuing to race well. 6 Dice Roll through the same form line as I'm Thunderstruck. I'm not sure if 1,600 metres is his absolute best distance, but he should get a lovely run from that inside draw. Superstorm and Sierra Sue probably not far away through the Elephant and Fian form lines. I'm with 11, keen on 11, ahead of 4, 6 and 2.
So Dino with the 14 and a price embolism in the Turak over the 11, 2 and 4. Gator with the 11, 4, 2 and 3. And Warren also with the 11 on Thunderstruck over the 4, 6 and 2. Race number 10, Group 2, importing scratching here. Floating Artist, say for Wednesday. Fun fact, the 8 also comes out here, Quinny.
And as a result, Delphi at $2.40 market leader, Turidan at 6, Defibrillate 6.50, The Chosen One 10, King of Leagrants 14 with Huster Lawar, then we have Parade 17, Mirage Dancer 23 with Rostropovich, Future Score 26, but it's all about the new favourite Delphi, who can hopefully end the day with a bang for favourite punters.
Warren at $2.40 does look pretty tough to beat now with no Floating Artists.
Yeah, he does. He was going to be very hard to beat anyway, Gareth, and he should get a nice enough run. He's run well at his two runs this preparation. You'd think the step up to 2,400 metres here is just ideal for him, and he's clearly the one to meet for me. 5 ahead of... for me, I thought with Floating Artist out, Defibrillate probably becomes the main danger. That form ties in with Floating Artist. I thought King of Leagrants did enough last start and toured and probably... couldn't be going any better. We know how good the Mar and Eustace trained runners are over this distance range. He's probably surprised me to some extent when he's progressed to 2,000 metres and beyond, but he seems to be holding together well. Delphi, clearly the one to beat for me, 5-4-2-11.
Who wins the Herbert Power here, Gator?
Look, I'm left with Delphi on top, and I'm certainly not upset about it. A really good return, just missed Nonconformist, who I think would have run well earlier today. Probably... around the likes of Holmesman and Probabil. They ran fast time. I don't think it's any shock that form was franked through a couple that were so good last week at Flemington, including the Quinella, Grand Promenade, Charlie Rose, Realm of Flowers all came through that race. He's much better horse at 2,500 as well. Defibrillate ran Floating Artist to 0.75 lengths, second up Flemington, so must have a case. And he certainly will beat him home this time. Turidan, tough. Emerging stayer down in the weight, and the Chosen One probably hit the stack of half chances. I'm pretty thin home, quaddy wise. 5-4-11-1.
And Dino and the Herbert Power, you with Delphi as well?
Certainly am, Gareth. He was terrific in the naturalism. He just had to wait his turn to get a run, and the race didn't pass him by because he nearly won, but he was strong on the line and through the line. And his Irish form would suggest that, you know, 24 and up to 2,800 metres is where he comes into his own. So he just gets a great run, I think, here. And you'll be probably, he'll probably get in the Caulfield Cup anyway, but he'll shore it up with a win here. And I think he's a bit of a chance come next Saturday. Defibrillate, I don't think the Valley really suited him last start. He seemed to make his ground down the side, battle around the home turn and then get going again late. So, you know, he's 3 from 3 at Caulfield, so that's no problem here, and out to the longer trip is okay. King of Leogrants, I agree with Warren. I thought he did more than enough first up, and that's the floating artist defibrillate form line, and second up, his record's really solid and turret. And the way the scratchings have come out with floating artist being one of the other speed elements, he'll roll along in front. This is his acid test, but gee, he's having a great preparation. But no, I think Delphi will race himself into Caulfield Cup calculations here. 5, 4, 2, and 11.
So 5, 4, 2, and 11 for Dino, 5, 4, 11, and 1 for Gator, and 5, 4, 2, and 11 for Warren. All right, then Dino, I need Lance Malta. I think she's back this week, which is great news. Your best bets in a quaddie, please.
Yeah, I'm having to be very patient, Gareth, and wait till the last with Delphi, because I think he can win. The best value is Embolism for me. In the Turek, I think he'll run very well. The Quaddy, just a little bit of a change from the Breakfast Club yesterday. First leg, I'm just loading up the first leg because I just don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8 and 12 into 1, 2, 3 and 17 into 2, 4, 11 and 14. And just come home on 2, 4, and 5. And Leanne's multi, as you mentioned, Gareth. She's going with Lombardo, Zaki, Delphi, all for the win at around the $5 mark.
Enjoy your day. Looking forward to listening to you on the main channel here on RSN 927 as well, Dino. And, of course, on the spring ticket on our Carnival channel as well a little later on in the day.
Yeah, it's good to be involved, Gareth. Looking forward to the day.
Good on you, mate. There's Dean Lester. Gator, your best bet there at Caulfield and a quaddy, please.
Two best of race, 2, number 2, Buffalo River, and a race 9, number 11, I'm Thunderstruck. Quaddy-wise, Brooklyn Hustle, Talia, La Mexicana, just 1, 4, and 3 in that first leg. Caulfield Guineas, Artorias, Animo, Tiger of Malagianus, Forgot You, and Hitotsu for the main quaddy. Second quaddy, just the two big guns will be there, but for the wider one, 2, 1, 3, 7, 8, and 17. Maybe get a split there. Turak just 11 and 4, Thunderstruck and Elephant, and coming home, Delphi, Defibrillate, Turudin. So just 5, 4, 11.
All right, then. Enjoy your little coffee, and we'll catch up with you in just a moment for the Sydney preview.
Roger.
And Warren, your best in a quaddy, please.
I'm patient, but I'm not as patient as Dino, Gareth. So I'm race 9, number 11. I'm Thunderstruck as my best. Loading up the first leg of the quaddy, including Brooklyn Hustle, with my first four numbers. 1, 3, 4, 6 and 12, the first leg. 1, 2 and 3 in the second. 4, 6 and 11 in the third. Home with numbers 2, 4 and 5.
4, 6, 11 in the third, and 2, 4 and 5 in that final leg. All right then, mate, I look forward to catching up with you or listening to you on Correct Weight from 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we're going to expand the coverage on Correct Weight, go to 10:30 for the next 3 weeks or so, Gareth. Just more time to delve deeper into the races, and in particular, probably try and carve out Dino and Brendan's thoughts into how it might affect the Caulfield Cup next week, Cox Plate, and you know the races now are so much fine-tuning the thoughts on the features in the Spring Carnival. Thought it was worth extending Correct Weight for half an hour, and in conjunction with Brendan, who hosts Sunday Central, we'll work out that. But we'll be going from 8 to 10:30 for the next few weeks on Correct
Weight. Sensational. Must listening. Thanks for that, Warren.
Thanks, Gareth.
Here's Warren Huntley. News time with Johnny Bowden.